Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanere Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
Excited to be in church this morning. Let me hear some noise in church. Make some noise. Shout unto the Lord. Shout. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I feel a bit of a dullness. There's no dullness in this church. Now stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Part of the service. Amen. Bible says that the entrance of thy word, it brings light. It brings meaning to your life. Now, this morning, meaning is about to come into your life. You know, you left your house and came here without meaning in your life. But right now, meaning is about to come into your life. Tell your neighbor, meaning is about to come into your life. Your life has been meaningless because you don't have light. Now, the Bible also says that a man can carry light. Yes. It says that in him was life, and that life was the light of man. Now, God has sent us somebody this morning who has life in him. Yes, yes. And that life that he has is light unto us. He's about to bring us the unadulterated word of God. The Bible says that we should receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. This morning, if you're as excited as I'm excited, the engrafted word of God is coming to you. I want you to put your hands together. Give the Lord a scream.
Some dull people here this morning. Dull. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be in church? Look, I can assure you that if we really understood what God was doing, we would have to pay gate fee to come here. If you understood life in the world, life on earth, and you understood the hopelessness and the futurelessness of life on earth, the uselessness of life on earth, and you also understood what church is about, you will buy your tickets 2 days before Sunday. Yeah. There'll be places in town where you buy tickets. And what I'm saying is actually what the Bible says. That is what the Word of God teaches us, that no one should come before God empty-handed. So the experience in the house of God is worth paying for, putting something down for. We may call it an offering. You may call it a seed. You may call it a giving. But it is actually a payment. In other words, if you come into church without paying anything, it is a sign of great disregard, great disrespect. Anybody who enters a church service and doesn't give anything is toileting on the church. You are toileting. It's a sign of disrespect, because the Bible says that we honor God with our substance. So when you give, you are showing respect. You are showing respect. I'm talking to some young boys and girls that the experience in church, I mean, what church does to your life and for your life, I tell you that this place should have been air conditioned with all the doors closed except one door. Then there's a bouncer in front. You come, you show your ticket. We've got box offices in Medina, box offices in Dodoma. If you want to come on Sunday, if you live in the Sasabi area, you go to Dodoma to buy your ticket. Without a ticket, you cannot enter the church. That is what it actually has to be. Yes. So to walk into church freely, hear the word of God, like the word you are about to hear this morning, which changes your life. I mean, one message, sometimes it's not even the entire message. One sentence in a message redirects the entire course of your life. I want to say that begin a life of exchanging money for the things that happen to you in church. Your experiences must not be enjoyed without a commensurate giving. Now, it is this giving of money, and I'm speaking in English, money. It is this putting of your money down in exchange for your experience that puts your heart in the church. Because then your treasure would have entered the church. And where your treasure can be found, that is where we can predict that your heart is. So a lot of us here, our hearts are not in the church. Your body is here, but your heart is not here. How do we know? Where is your treasure? Of course, your treasure is not only money, your time, your energy. But I'm saying that today, I'm actually talking about money. That begin to budget in such a way that you are constantly giving. Like you wake up and you join flow prayer and you pray and you don't drop an offering, you are toileting on what is happening. None shall come before me empty. No wonder you can be in church for 7 years and not have anything to show in your life that you are a Christian. Because when you don't give offerings, you are actually blocking the supernatural experiences from happening. You can be here listening to a message, clapping your hands, standing and shouting. But without payment, the power of the word that should enter you doesn't enter. You only hear words and atmosphere and a nice lady pastor wearing a red dress preaching to you. But really, you don't change because you didn't pay for it. Nothing you don't pay for comes to you. You don't own it. So I really want to tell all of you that one of your prayers is to pray to God to give you an understanding of life on earth, outside there, to really show you, like Reverend George was sharing with us, allow God to shine his light on the life that is outside there. Don't use the sunlight. Sunlight is very deceptive. Let God reveal to you the evil ahead of you, the wickedness in the world you are in, and also ask him to reveal to you the blessedness of being in church. You will be very amazed that God has, I mean, anybody in church this morning must know that God has been so good to you that you are standing in his house among Christian brethren. Oh, clap your hands for Jesus. Clap your hands for Jesus. So lift your two hands and say after me, I value this experience. I treasure this experience. Say, where I am standing is the most important place in my life. And today, as I lift my hands, I am declaring that the value I place on this place, the house of God, the temple of God, will never diminish. Will never diminish. I am a child of God, and I live in the house of God. I will dwell in the house of God. I will serve God. I will build a church and make his house glorious. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you for 10 seconds to lift your hands and pray. Whatever you want God to do for you in this service, tell him. Whatever you want to do in this service, you want God to do for you, whatever you are expecting in this service, tell him. Tell him. Tell him. Father, we are very, very grateful for this beautiful and powerful experience. Touch our lives. May we never be the same again. Let this experience change us and make us new and whole. Jesus' name. Amen. Clap your hands. And you may be seated in the house of God. I'm preaching on fruitfulness. And I'm continuing to teach you very powerful truths regarding Jesus' laws. Yes. Jesus had laws. He gave laws. And fruitfulness may easily be the main thing that will keep you in the house of God. Anyone who has not understood fruitfulness has not understood how to walk with God. That's why it is a core subject. Like, if you've not understood English, it means you've not understood how to pass your exam. Because no matter the marks you get in other places, the English language is going to prevent you from entering the university. Fruitfulness is a core subject. And I want to say to all of us that one of the remove the earphone from your ear. If you want to listen to the music, you can go out. Just sit there and enjoy the music. But if I don't to decide, I'm just saying that you are free to enjoy your music. Okay, so I can't be preaching and you are in the church listening to worldly music and shaking your head. You are showing disrespect. So, the person who brought you here didn't do a good job. The person who brought you here is finding a very cheap way to serve God. But what the person doesn't know is that he's wasting his time. When you are bringing someone to church, please be seated. You sit down. When you are bringing someone to church, you need to prepare the person. You don't just carry someone, put the person in on a bus, or walk the person, just dump. Look at the church. We are trying to make it nice. It's not a rubbish dump. The church is not a rubbish dump. The church is not a place to just come and dump any rubbish. Yeah. You prepare. That's why the Bible says in, I think, 1 Chronicles 6, that the stones that were used to build the house, they were cut at the quarry. Right now, I'm preaching on fruitfulness, but for the past 1 minute, I've been making noise. I'm preaching a nice message on fruitfulness, but for the past 1 minute, I'm talking nonsense because someone, maybe you don't know, just have to show you. We all don't know anything. It's God. Oh, sorry, I said First Kings, chapter 6. You guys, your TV is coming soon. I'm addressing, well, all this is part of fruit bearing, but I've shifted from. So I'm telling all regional heads, bus center leaders, and shepherds. Anyone, any Christians, anyone who invites someone to church must learn this principle. Otherwise, you'll be bringing rubbish to the church. You see, verse 7 of 1 Kings 6. Is this dida, and so on? Can I have the New Living Translation? Something new that all our JHS, yes, yeah. You know, he said, the stones. And before I go on, I want to say that Peter said, we are the stones. We are the living stones. Yes, the King James says lively stones, but it's actually living stones. Built together an house. So there is a physical house here, and there is also a spiritual house. Do you see? Have you found the scripture for me? First Peter 2, verse 5. Okay, leave it there. Leave the New Living Translation there. It says that you are living stones. We are stones, but the difference between the stone there and us is that we are living. We breathe and eat and sleep and move. But we are actually stones. Every member of a church is a stone. Tell your neighbor, you are a stone. Yes. So this morning, I was here on Thursday or Tuesday. I've forgotten the day. This building was there. It was here, but there was no one here. But this morning, a spiritual house has been built. Some are doors, some are windows, some are toilet bowl, some are sinks, some are whatever, air conditioners. It's a house. This is a house. And it says that you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. So there's a physical temple. And there's also a spiritual temple. We are stones. I am a stone. Judging by my role in this building, I'm likely to be a cornerstone. Or a main column. Yes. I'm likely to be a main pillar that receives the weight. When the weight is distributed, I receive a lot of the weight. And there are also smaller pillars. But we are all stones. All of us are stones. Our sister who came to sing is a stone. Yeah, so we assemble on Sunday morning. We assemble on Thursday in somebody's house. Wherever we... It's not really the building. It is who is meeting. So when we meet on a school park, we are a house. I was preaching another message. Yes. And I've now changed the message and I'm preaching another message. Uh-huh. Because I saw someone as I was preaching, listening to unbeliever music and nodding. He's in another world in the church. Uh-huh. And the reason he's in another world, he's just come here with his worldly things and he's feeling comfortable in the system, is that he's not a bad person. That's also worth mentioning. He is not a bad person. The person who brought him is a very bad person. It's a very bad person. Why is the person who brought him a bad person? The person who brought him is a bad person because he didn't do the work he was supposed to do. You don't just carry stones into the house of God. You don't just carry stones. So take me back to 1 Kings chapter 6. You see, it says, the New Living Translation says, the stones used in the construction of the temple were finished at the quarry. I mean, finished means that you even wonder what we are doing here. We are just supposed to come and encourage ourselves, sing a song of worship, strengthen ourselves and go back. I mean, the stone that was brought is here. This is the stones in the and the temple is a big T, the same temple we saw this year. The stones were finished at the time at the quarry. So that there was no sound of hammer, axe, or any other iron tool at the building site. Wow. No noise. Look at the Message translation of this verse. The Message Bible. It says, the stone blocks for the building of the temple were all dressed at the quarry. So that the building site that we are here, this is a site, was reverently quiet. No noise from hammers and chisels and other iron tools. No noise. Like I'm preaching a message, I'm now making noise. Because I must make the noise so that you hear the type of sound we should be hearing. When a message on fruitfulness is being preached, the person, when you are bringing somebody, you must dress the person before you bring it, because that person is a block. And here we don't use hammer. We don't use chisel. What does it mean to dress the person? Talk to the person. Talk to the person. Teach the person. Pray with the person. Tell the person where you are taking him to. Share Jesus with the person. Finish the person. I mean, you present a soul with a Bible and a notebook and a pen. Literally, you've bought a pen for the person. You've bought a notebook for the person. You've got a Bible for him. You've brought the person prepared to receive the word of God. Prepared. If you don't do that, then you are creating confusion in the church. Because the stone you brought now means that we must go and collect somebody's hammer and start chiseling. And all the rubbish that comes from chiseling stones will be left at the site. So I'm teaching everyone here, leaders and pastors, don't just be excited. It's also a certain variant of wickedness. If you are inviting someone to church, pray with the person. Teach the person the word of God. Share Christ. Get him properly born again. Church services should be a place where it's not a place we should make altar calls for salvation. We should make altar calls for dedication and rededication, because it should be assumed that anybody brought here is that is even what creates the atmosphere of the preaching of God's word. So enough of the rubbish. Enough of the rubbish. And what God expects of you is what I'm telling you now. That when you are bringing a stone, you cut the stone. Give me NIV. In building the temple, in building the church, in building the church service, only blocks dressed at the quarry were used. Only. So if the person has not been dressed out in town or at home, don't bring the person here. Only blocks that are dressed at the quarry are used. Only blocks at the quarry are used. Only. New International Reader's Version. If you don't have it, it's fine. But this is the emphasis I'm giving you. only blocks. I brought you here for you to see another new word. Only. So when you are putting somebody in your car, ask yourself that, has this person been dressed? That is what leads to a Christian being a shepherd, being a basenta leader, and on, he's appointed a pastor, and he has not even taught one soul for 6 weeks. He has not prepared a soul, a convert, to be established. He doesn't even know how to teach new believers material ever, but he's a pastor. Soon to become a reverend. Because all we do is carry boulders, rocks. So that's the message today. That's the message today. That's the message today. That's the message today. Not every church is a church. Not every church is a church. Not every church is a church. You may see a signboard church is there. You see, what I'm saying, the absence of these things is what makes the Christians also very, very useless, very carnal. Imagine that you've been a member of this church for the past 2 years, and every day you are breaking. In fact, you are the one responsible for all these guys who are sitting on this left, these 100 guys. You brought all of them. And can you imagine that you brought all these, but you have never prayed with a soul before? You have never taught a person on salvation, faith, holiness. Imagine. So you see that carrying people to church is not the point. I'm talking about the point. If you brought all these 100 people and you have never led a person to receive the Holy Ghost baptism, then all the people in the church who do such things are carnal Christians. Because carrying someone somewhere, people take their friends to stadiums to watch football. We carry our friends to nightclubs. We carry our friends to night. So carrying someone to church is not the point. Even the people who take people to nightclubs, they prepare them. You can't wear this maxi to a nightclub. We are going to Harbour View and we are wearing pinafore. Is that what they call it? That type of dress. School uniform type. No. The dress you are wearing, it should show either breast or buttocks or thighs or stomach. It must be very, very, very risque. Risque. That's how to dress for a nightclub. I'm praying that today you will learn that you don't just carry anyone to church expecting the pastor to be the one to get the chisel and hammer and whatever to chisel the person into shape. You must chisel the person into shape. And by doing that, you also become a proper Christian. You yourself become a proper Christian. Can you imagine a Christian, so-called Christian, who has never taught another person about Jesus Christ? And there is a work that everybody must do. That one-on-one. Everybody say one-on-one. I didn't hear you well. Say one-on-one. Yes, always ask yourself, this week, have I done any one-on-one? Yes. Because the one-on-one, like, what's your name, my dear? Lucy. Yeah. My one-on-one with Lucy is more important than preaching to a crowd. I mean, there's not much in preaching to crowds. I'm telling you. And Jesus did not place any value on preaching to crowds. In his ministry, we didn't see Jesus placing value on gathering 10,000 people and preaching to them. There's no evidence in the Bible. The evidence we rather have is that he didn't even care whether they understood. But what he placed value on was the one-on-one, you and I, small group, two people to Jesus. So he finished preaching to 5,000. Who didn't understand that message? And the, I taught you that. I said, hey, call them back. I've been preaching for 40 minutes. They didn't understand. Get them back. He didn't care. He rather called 12 guys in a room and explained the message to them. This thing we are doing here this morning is not of much value. The real value of this is dependent on whether the people who have gathered have experienced one-on-one. No matter what you do, you will never be able to take away the place of one-on-one. Oh yes, the house of God should be filled. But filled by what? Rubbish. You are joking. Because Jesus told the parable of a man whose house was filled. Invitations were done. So filling a house is not the point. Jesus told, read your own Bible also. A man threw a party, a dinner, and invited. People didn't come. He sent his servants to go and call. He sent people gathered two rounds till the house was full. So filling a church is part of the Christian responsibility, but not just filling a church. Because the Bible says the Lord of the house entered. And when he entered, the place was full. But he noticed somebody who was not wearing the right attire.
An uncut stone.
He asked him to stand up. And he asked him, how did you get here? How is it possible that everybody in this party is wearing red and you are wearing polka dots? Stand up. How? And the man said, I was sitting somewhere. You know, how this guy is not working well. I'm preaching. This is not a time for trials. And the man, he asked the man that, what is going on? Why are you wearing this? And the man said, nobody has said anything to me. He said, no. Carry him. He saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Please go back to verse 10. So, verse 9, I'm explaining to you. I'm teaching you that filling a church with 10,000 chairs is important. Go to verse 7. Let's read the story. Verse 8. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready. But they, give me New King James. Then he said to his servants like me, servant like you, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. That is, they didn't come. See, anybody who doesn't come when you invite him to church is not worthy to be in church. It's not worthy to be in church. Anybody you invite to church who comes is worthy. The person doesn't deserve to sit in church. Not everyone deserves to sit in church. But let's, that's not the point for this morning. Verse 9, let's go on. So he said, therefore, so the, we have put 200 chairs there. And we have invited the original list. Only 86 are in. So now, where are we going to get the 114? So he said, therefore, go into the highways. The places where we originally wouldn't have thought about to invite people. And as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Full service. All the 5,000 chairs were filled. But I'm telling you this morning that it's not enough to fill chairs. But when the king came in to see the guest, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. Remember, it was a wedding dinner. So you wear a wedding garment. It means that you must dress appropriately to the event. If it's a church, you must be prepared. You must look like church. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? How did you come in here without the things you need to be in the wedding? And the man was speechless. He couldn't speak. The king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot. Take him away. The man who, this is the same man who wanted his dinner chairs to be filled though. But he said, take him away. Are you in the service? Yeah. He said, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. So you may think that a person who wants a church to be filled just wants anybody. Now, remember that they brought into the church good and bad. Important. Which is the message I'm preaching today, actually. I'm surprised that's where I've come to land. This is the message I'm preaching this morning. Listen, in the church, I'm even surprised that they said good and bad. Because really, who is good? Did I see good and bad? Both bad and good. Maybe another type of dinner. But the church, with the human beings we are in, if you are a man, stand up and say you are good. So everyone sit down. Everyone should sit down. Anybody who feels, because they said bad and good, those of you who are the good type, please stand to your feet. Good. Oh, there's one there. That boy. This man, he is good. You are saying you are good?
No.
But she says you are the...
No.
Oh, not him. This one.
No.
How many of you know that you are bad? Stand to your feet if you feel that you are bad. Oh, I'm enjoying the service. I can't believe I've come to the beginning of the service. Are those who are sitting are good? So she is good. Oh, you are a good girl.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. Betty is good.
She's got Betty. You are good, eh?
Yes.
So the point is not whether you are good or you are bad. So at this time, I'm starting today's message. Jesus' third law of fruitfulness is this. It's found in John 15 verse 3. You can sit down. Since we are all the bad people should sit down. John 15 verse 3. Jesus' third law is found in John 15 verse 3. Now look at verse 2. We did verse 1 2 weeks ago or whatever. We did verse 2 last week. Today we are doing verse 3. Now, every branch in me, this is what we did. He taketh away. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth. Remember last week, purging. How many of you were here for purging last week? Purgatives. Okay, purging. Now, today is verse 3 and we are ending. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? So Jesus' third law of fruitfulness, which is what I'm preaching today, is that cleanness and purity are needed for fruit bearing. If you want to bear fruit, cleanness and purity are needed. While Jesus was sharing about bearing fruit, he spoke of cleanness, verse 3, purity and holiness is there. Without removing thorns, thistles, and weeds, plants will never grow and will never bear the fruit they are expected to bear. Without holiness, you cannot see God. Now, as Jesus spoke of bearing fruit, I'm sure the disciples were thinking to themselves, we are not good enough to be used by the Lord. We are not good enough. How many of you feel that you are not good enough? Yes. They were certainly not holy men because they all betrayed Christ. Now, no one is good enough. And no one will ever qualify. When you look at yourself critically, you will feel like hiding. When Adam looked at himself, he ran to hide between the trees. Because he realized that he was no longer qualified to be near God. Nobody here is qualified to be near God. So when the man went to the wedding, a wedding where there were also bad people, the problem was not whether they were good or bad. Very important. The problem is not whether you are a good person or you are a bad person, but rather what you are wearing. What you are wearing. And he asked the man, why are you not wearing red? And the Bible says that the man didn't say anything. speechless. It means he couldn't make any speech. So he called the pastors and ushers to, first of all, tie his hands and his legs and logo him. Say logo.
Logo.
My dear friend, when you bring someone to church, so I'm preaching two messages in one. I'll be switching because now I'm solidly on the ground. When you are bringing someone to church, a church service is a wedding ceremony. A church service is a wedding ceremony. Why? Because it is a time that Jesus gets to spend with his wife. Wow. We are the bride. The church is the bride. So a church service is a wedding ceremony. Now, there is something Matthew didn't say, which other versions in the Bible will tell you.
Okay.
Like the Amplified Version. But not, apart from the Amplified Version, you will learn it. I was listening to Derek Prince teach on this a month ago. And he said that Matthew, the writers of the King James, didn't really give the right picture. Because in the Middle East, where he himself grew up, when you are going to a wedding, you can wear anything. You can wear anything to the wedding. But when you get to the wedding ground, part of a wedding ceremony, like how when you are doing a wedding, you have to use flowers and green carpet, decor, that's all. Yeah. In Palestine, when they are having weddings, part of the decor is the dress people wear.
I see.
You can't say you organize a wedding when you've not provided the outer garment. So all those who come, they get the garment at the gate, put it on, and they enter the wedding so that there's uniform. Oh, Jesus. This is the representation. So if you've not lived in the area of Palestine and you think that weddings are like last 2 weeks, I was in Malawi. I was invited there to officiate a wedding. I wasn't invited for a conference. I wasn't invited to a camp meeting. I wasn't invited to a convention. I was invited by one of the biggest churches in Malawi. The pastor, his daughter, Malawian. His daughter, his only daughter, was marrying. And he invited me from Ghana to go and officiate his daughter's wedding. That's the only reason he invited me there. And my experience was amazing. What we call wedding in Ghana is a church service. In Malawi, when they say wedding, the main 80% of the wedding is the reception. They have the service, officiate, whatever, and then they go home. They go home. Like, we have the wedding here, then we go and cut the cake there with your fascinator. No, everybody goes home. They go, and they come back at 6 p.m. See, I'm preaching a message today. I'm saying that if you don't understand how people do things, you won't understand when they are speaking. 6 p.m., I arrived. To cut a long story short, it ended at 11 p.m. The reception. The reception. They did pericani about five times or more. Do you know Perikani, Perikani? Different groups bring offerings to the wedding couple. So I'm here with my wife. We are standing here. And then, those from Dodowa will do Perikani. They come with money. They just money. Then they call all students of the girls' school, Holy Child, Perikani, Perikani. Then they call all those who came from another country, for, let's say Zambia, for this wedding, Perikani, Perikani. Different groups. Money in boxes. Then they do games. Games, as in different games. They will call all those who are not married to come. They sit down. Then the MC will say, so if they are 10, he will say that first round, we are going to, everyone is going to look for a pair of shoes. You are going to get somebody's, a lady's pair of shoes. If you're a woman, you get a man's pair of shoes that fits you. You wear it and you come and sit down. So when they leave and there are 10 chairs, they remove one. So the one who comes last doesn't get a chair. So you go and find shoes. So they go, they find somebody to put your foot in. It's then, so you have now 9. Then say the next round. The one who, everyone should go and find a lady's wig. And not every lady at a wedding wants to remove her wig. But I was surprised that there were ladies who removed their wigs and gave. And the one who came late. So when you return, by the time you are coming back, there are 8 chairs. Then you go and look for 8. Go and look for red lipstick. And oh, I mean, this is 5 hours. Perikani Olympics. So what's the point? What's the point? The point is that you need to understand when they say wedding. You may easily think that it's like your wedding where you wear your yellow and black and then you just come and enter. No. In Palestinian life, the wedding dress. So the Amplified said, I don't like this Amplified. There's a C amp. AMPC. Is that a C? Please find the AMPC and read it for me. He said, friend, you find it there. And make sure this is updated for preaching. We are not joking here. Reader's version, all the full gamut of translations. AMPC, have you found it? Okay, mommy, you found AMPC. Listen to the another translation.
And he said, friend, how did you come in here without putting on the appropriate wedding garment? And he was speechless, muzzled, gagged.
No, that's not it. This is the same. Is it AMPC?
Yes, AMPC.
There is one of the Amplified that talks about the wedding garment that was provided. AMP. Oh, the Living Bible. Let me see the Living Bible. He doesn't have it. I'm sure he doesn't have it. Read it.
So it says, but when the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the wedding robe provided for him.
Yes. That's the Living Bible. He was not wedding, but this is also AMP. So this is an older version. Which is AMP, yes. I like the sisters when they read.
And he said, friend, how did you come in here without wearing the wedding clothes that were provided for you?
Were provided.
And the man was speechless and without excuse.
So when you are at a wedding, what you don't know is that things have been provided for you. Just wait. And some people choose not to wear what they have been given. So when the man came, he couldn't believe it that there would be somebody there who will refuse to wear. So when you are inviting someone to church, remember that there is a garment. A garment of how your mind should work. Not just how to dress as in black trousers or green shoes or whatever, but your mind. We are going to church, have a Bible. We are going to church, throw away this useless music. We are going to church, have this notebook. It's not about being good or bad. It's about how you have organized yourself, and that work is done outside. You don't come into the ceremony and dress inside the ceremony. Ladies and gentlemen, how do you bear fruit? Go back and let me end to John 15, verse 3. Verse 3. Now, I'm ending now. This is how we end. The law says that to bear fruit, you must be clean. You must be clean. Please sit down. Anybody, one of the causes of fruitlessness is uncleanness. When you have a pastor of a church whose church is not growing, a basenta leader whose basenta is not bearing fruit, you have somebody who can't even buy a Bible, but he has bought blonde dye for his hair. You don't understand what I'm saying? You don't get the point I'm making. I'm saying that when you have somebody, you see, only possessing a Bible is a type of fruit. Reading the Bible is a type of fruit. Breaking up with a certain type of person is a type of fruit. Now, when you have anyone, any Christian, who is unable to bear fruit, any fruit, the fruit of attending church is a fruit. The fruit of, even last week we learned about more fruit. And I said more is almost always times two. When you find a Christian who can't attend two different church meetings a week and is only in church on Sunday, cannot join a home cell meeting, a basenta meeting, most of the reasons why people can't bear fruit is a sin. It's a sin. If this church doesn't grow, it means there's sin somewhere. There's sin somewhere. Because one of the things sin does is that sin restrains you. It makes you timid. Like if the leader of this choir is unable to build a 30, just not 100, just 30 people already, you must be about 15, and you can't get the people to become 30. If you go inside, you find there is sin somewhere. You've been in church for 5 years. You cannot buy a Bible. You cannot. You can't use your money to buy a Bible. You go into her life. You see that there is some sin somewhere. She's a lesbian sitting there. One of the things sin does is that sin is one of the major causes of fruitlessness or barrenness. But we learned that at the wedding, there were good and bad people.
And we have already done our survey that we are all bad. And the baddest of them is the pastor who is preaching to you. The baddest. So then, what do we do? Should we get up and go home?
No.
That is why it's not about being good or being bad. It is about something. Something I'm about to mention. That's something. I said it's not about being a school prefect and she's a prostitute. And you are a virgin Mother Mary of God. And you are a harlot in town. And she is a school prefect. And this one is the owner of the prostitute association. The chairperson. No. No matter who you are, whether good or bad, there is something that if you do not use, you'll be disqualified from bearing fruit. And that thing is called the Word of God. Wow. Turn your Bible. Ephesians 5. Listen. Listen. If you are here and you are bad, I'm happy you came. There's hope for you. Anybody here struggling? Anybody here struggling? With a man chasing you, you can't break away from him. You are into pornography, you can't stop. You are sexy, you can't stop. You steal. You've got unbeliever friends, you don't know how to break away from them. Tell the next person that car worry, Ulu. Tell that next person, say, tap the person so they say, car worry. Oba fi fine. Car worry. Any young boy here struggling with pornography, can't worry. Can't worry. Look for another person different and say, can't worry. Oba fe fine. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not about being a school prefect and being a thief. This type of people who wear glasses, they look dignified wearing their glasses. You don't have any idea what she's capable of doing. You should see her in a room displaying. Ladies and gentlemen, it will be very bad of me to continue preaching for more than 5 minutes from now. It will not. It's unnecessary. What makes you qualified to be here in spite of your badness is the contact hours you make with the Word of God. Contact hours. Anybody here who doesn't have, he said, you see, go back to Matthew, what is the name? John 15, verse 3. He said, no matter what your problem is, you can be clean. Clean. It's not necessary to stand here and tell you what type of life I was living as a 16-year-old boy in Takrady. It's not necessary. There is nobody here. There's nothing in your life that cannot be solved by the Word of God. Your problem is that you don't make, you see, you know you are clean. The word is what cleans you. But how does the word clean you? Ephesians 5 verse 26. How does the word clean? Look at it. Ephesians 5, 23. How does the word clean? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing. You see, washing, you can never, it's not a Brigels where you use sachet water. One sachet water is shared by two girls to paste, brush your teeth and bath. No. When we talk about washing, this is how God cleans us. God doesn't clean us with pure water. He cleans us with the washing. So when you say washing, it means a lot of water. For a long time. Both the amount and the both quantity and contact time.
Long time.
Wow. My grandmother, I was raised by my grandmother. I mean, if you are going somewhere and you intend to bath, you have to wake up at 5 a.m. You intend to bath before going. Because once she enters the bathroom, it's 3 hours. A lot of contact hours. That's washing. Entering a bathroom doesn't solve your problem. It's how long you spend there and how much water contacts your body. That's what shows that your LLS has been cleaned. Heaven water, give me water. Heaven water. This is water. I want to bath. Is this bathing? That's not bathing. This is ablution. If I say I'm bathing, I'm like me, Kwame, I'm going to bath. I won't use this. Minimum is a bucket. And if I take a bucket and I go to the public bathroom, I enter the bathroom. Oh, I'm preaching a message. I enter the bathroom and I come out after 1 minute with one tank of water. Is it bathing? No. The length of time you stay with the water determines how clean. Many of you have not been bathing. No, many of you have not been bathing. And the water, it comes in different forms. Some of us, our own is in the bucket. Some of us, our own is from the shower. Some of us, our own is from a water hose. The word comes in different forms. It's a Bible you are reading, a message you are listening to, a video you are watching. It's not what a song you are listening to. It's not whether you have the word, but the amount and the contact. That's why many of you have got water, but you are dirty. You have sat in water services for the past 5 years. You are still chasing a boyfriend. You are still with somebody's husband. Having 3 Bibles is not enough. There is something about the word of God. Just John 15, verse 10. Father, I thank you for this word, for cleanness. No. You can't be batting and be sending emails. You can't be batting and be cooking. You can't be batting and be teaching your children. You cannot be batting and be frying eggs. To bat well, you must cut off a block of time, uninterrupted, alone with the water for a long time, then you are, we say you are battened. Jesus Christ, he saw a woman in the act, caught in the act, whatever it means. People are trying to kill her. I said, I won't kill you. Just go and change your life. Go and deal with the sin problem. You see, that's why at the wedding, they were good and bad. If you are here and you are struggling with anything, I'm telling you that you are struggling because your contact time, you are not washing yourself. You are doing ablution. I was at an airport, Addis Ababa. I have not seen some before. And I went to the washroom. And I saw some people there from another religion. I'm not doing water. But he would turn the tap, and then he would touch the water, and he would wipe behind the ear. What shocked me, I'm over 50 years. I am more than 50 years. I have never seen it before. Maybe it's because of where I live my life. I couldn't believe that he took his foot from the shoe. He was wearing socks. Wearing socks. And he took the water. A little of it. And just clean. Put it on the socks. And wore his footwear. I said, hey. Because if it's water, I think the socks must be removed. But no, that's what I'm saying, that you can have water, you can be doing something, but many of you are doing ablution on socks, ablution on blood. If you are really battered, you remove everything. How can you say you are battered, you are under the shadow, and you are wearing your yellow and black? Ladies and gentlemen, I came today to explain to you why you can't grow. The word of, it's not about bad, that you were a former homosexual, former whatever, you were this, you have been stealing, or you are pornography, ha. Anybody here who has eaten more pornography than me should come. But there is something about the word of God. So there is something about, I said, anybody with a problem, any type of problem, it's your contact hours. You're not washing. You're doing ablution. Can you stand up and clap your hands for the service we have had this morning? Today, as you live here, don't worry that you are sleeping with a girl. Don't worry that you are with a married man. Don't worry that you are having problems smoking or stopping weed. Just get the word. Contact hours. Get the word. And a lot of the word. For a long time. Say a lot for a long time. Say a lot for a long time. It will clean every single problem in your life. Clap your hands. Your marriage is not a happy marriage. A lot of the word for a long time. It will make you a better wife. A better husband. As the word of God is a universal solvent. It will dissolve. The word is God. And what God cannot do does not exist. The word is God. And what God cannot do does not exist. It is existing in your life because you are not using the word of God well. A lot of water for a long time is what we mean by washing, not ablution. Keep clapping your hands. A lot of water for a long time is called washing. And the word of God is not to be used for ablution. Keep clapping your hands. You are the way you are, not because the word of God is not powerful, but how much of the word and for how long every day. Don't you bow 2 times a day at least? How come when it comes to the word of God, it's just one drop a morning? Are you surprised you are the way you are? I'm surprised you are surprised. That's what the Bible says. This book of the law, keep clapping, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night. That's how you wash. And meditating is really washing. You spend time. You run it through your soul. That's meditation. You can't meditate by brushing and you are finished. No. Time. Everybody keep clapping and say time. You are with a message. You'll listen and listen and you'll be washed. Keep clapping. What a word. Even me, I'm blessed. The one preaching. I now understand why people are in church, they have Bibles, but they are the same. They are the same. Don't stop clapping. We are showing respect to the word of God. Yes. We are showing respect. What is your problem? What problem? Problem do you have that God cannot solve? What sin? But the sin is there because you are not washing, you are doing ablution. I can say you are batting your feet and are wearing socks. What are you talking about? I don't understand it. I'm sure it means something else to them in their religion, but it can be washing. Keep clapping. Your life as it is now would be 10 times better if you were washing. It's not about being good or being bad. The word itself has the power, but the problem is the washing.
The word,
Nama Sandi. Ah, Emma Nana Masande. Life starts. To be born again means to start again. Lift your hand high above your head. And if your hand is up, I want you to come to the front here. Come. If you raise your hand, then come to me. Come right here. Take your Bible, your phone, and come. Yes. Yes. Beautiful. Yes. thank you. God bless you. I want us to pray. Please lift your hand. Yes. And I want you to repeat this prayer. It's a very important prayer. Very important. And I want you to say it from your heart. Yes. Lift your hands. It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. There's a whole life ahead of you. But say after me, Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I confess my sins, that I've done many bad things. I am bad.
I am bad.
I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
I've not done well.
I've not done well.
Please have mercy on me.
Please have mercy on me.
Today.
Today.
I return to you.
I return to you.
I make you my Lord.
I make you my Lord.
My Master.
My Master.
My Savior.
My Savior.
Oh God.
Oh God.
Today.
Today.
Have mercy on me.
Have mercy on me.
Receive me.
Receive me.
And from now on.
And from now on.
I'm going to walk with you.
I'm going to walk with you.
Basically.
Basically.
Through your word.
Through your word.
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 Everything I will do.
Everything I will do.
Will be from your word.
Will be from your word.
Your word I read.
Your word I read.
Your word I listen to.
Your word I listen to.
Your word I watch.
Your word I watch.
Your word I attend a church service to hear.
Word I attend a church service to hear.
Your word that comes from advice.
Word that comes from advice.
Your word that comes from discussions.
Word that comes from discussions.
Your word.
Your word.
Oh God.
Oh God.
Wash me.
Wash me.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
Not only with the blood of Jesus.
Not only with the blood of
but
Jesus.
With your word.
But with your word.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For my salvation.
For my salvation.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
See our pastor. I want all of you to go there. I'm so happy for the three of you.
Thank you.
If they do what they must do well, may God be pleased. Believers, because this is the age to start you. You saw the girl who was singing. Were you here to see the one who sang? The little girl. That's it. That's the original plan. They are the people who enter the kingdom. So God is going to use you as you are, not in the future. Let him use you as you are. And for it to happen, the pastors will help you. They will teach you. They will memorize scriptures with you. They will have meetings with you. And do a lot with you. Clap your hands. Clap your hands. And let's welcome Reverend George. Keep clapping your hands. Let's welcome Reverend George to lead us to the Lord's table. Clap your hands for him.
Hallelujah. Oh, put your hands together properly.
Stand up if you are sitting down. Please.
Please. Let's stand to our feet. Do you have your communion elements? Do you have your bread and your wine? Hallelujah. We are coming to the Lord's table at this time. Amen.
Take, eat, this is my body, which was broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood shall have eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed.
Jesus.
The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy.
The body we are about to eat, the bread we are about to eat this morning, is the body of Jesus. Our pastor, our father has taught us that the sole reason why we eat this, why we do this every Sunday, is so that we can remember Jesus. Now, in eating this body, we are remembering the dying and the resurrection of Jesus. May the power, that same spirit that raised the dead body of Jesus and brought it back to life, may that same spirit and that same power come into your body as you eat this bread. May every dead thing, every unclean thing in our bodies be removed as we eat this bread, which is the body of Jesus. Say the body of Jesus. Say, as I eat this bread, I am eating the body of Jesus. And the power that raised Jesus is coming into my body in the name of Jesus. The body of Jesus. You may eat it.
I will pass over you. Oh, when I see the blood.
Now the Bible says that after they ate the bread, Jesus took a cup of wine and he said that this is no longer wine. This has now become my blood. Now as we drink this, we are drinking in the very blood of Jesus. A lot of the sicknesses that come to us in life comes from what we eat and what goes inside us. Even so, what we are drinking this morning is bringing life into your body. Oh, I said it's bringing life into your body. Every illness, every sickness, every diagnosis, every evil word from a medical doctor, every word that you don't understand, any big English word that you've been told, by reason of this blood that we are drinking this morning, you are delivered from such a curse in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Please drink it.
I will pass over.
Let's lift our hands and let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for inviting us to your table every Sunday to partake of your body and your blood. We receive all the goodness and all the blessing in the cup of blessing. We are thankful that you died on the cross and that you shed every last drop of your blood on the cross for us, that we might be saved. We bless you this morning and we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Mackinac Cathedral near Valley View University, OUB, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.